Welcome to The Stare Down, sports talk and real estate, with Sean Carpenter of Coldwell Banker in Columbus, Ohio, Bill Risser of Fidelity National Title in Tampa, Florida, and Todd Meininger of Cummins, Georgia. Listen in as they discuss the week in sports and toss in a pinch of real estate too. Now your hosts, Sean, Todd and Bill.
Hey, greetings, everybody, and welcome back to The Stare Down. That's the sports talk and real estate podcast that we do every weekend, we'll say. We're recording this one on Monday night because it was a jam-packed weekend of sports and sports news. I'm Sean Carpenter in Columbus, Ohio, joined by my regular co-hosts. We got Bill Risser down in St. Pete, Florida, and we have Todd Meininger in Cumming, Georgia. Let's start with you, Todd. Good evening. How are you?
Sean, I'm doing great. Wow, what a weekend, huh? It did not disappoint, not only on the field, but a ton of drama on the field. And on a personal note, I had a great Thanksgiving weekend. I spent some time on the beach in Florida and just really recharged and feel really good about life and things and really had a great time.
So. Excellent. Well, let's segue, a great segue there, life on the beach. Speaking of life on the beach, Bill, down in St. Petersburg, how are you?
I'm good. I just left the beach about 2 hours ago, so I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, this weekend's a lot of fun. For me, my son and his girlfriend, Leah, came down for the weekend. They're still here right now. They're up on the rooftop of our building enjoying a cocktail with my wife while I'm here with you two talking sports. But it couldn't have been better. Some great stuff. Sean, you'll hate all of this. You like part of it. We went to Universal Studios, did the Harry Potter both sides for hours and hours and hours. Really, my son,
very cool,
girlfriend in heaven. And then today we saw the Star Wars costume exhibit at the Museum of Fine Arts in St. Petersburg, Florida. In between all of that were lots of trips to the beach, and they both fly home tomorrow. So that's mine. How about you? You were with your daughter, right?
I was with my family this weekend. My brother didn't come in from DC, but got to see my mom on Thanksgiving. We kind of have a little tradition. She goes to my brother's house, my younger brother's house, for Thanksgiving. So I take her out early in the morning. We go to get Starbucks and drive through town and just catch up. And then I went over to my in-law's house that afternoon for a nice Thanksgiving dinner. Kept the streak alive 50 years in a row now. I've never cooked on Thanksgiving. So keeping that up. And then spent some time with my son this weekend. And then Riley was home, like you said, watched the Buckeye game with my brother Kevin. And then we drove Riley back to school yesterday. And that's part of the reason why we didn't record last night's show. You had family in town, Bill. Todd was down with family. And just a lot happened. So almost better that we waited to do it Monday night. And so let's get right to it. Let's start with maybe something that's going to impact next year's discussions on the stare down, but the NCAA coaching carousel was spinning wildly last week. We talked a little bit on the show about a couple things. We've had a lot more official openings made since the season ended Saturday night. But why don't we start with the drama that was, will Chip Kelly go to Florida? Which it looked like last Sunday when we recorded, it was going to be Kelly to Florida. And then all of a sudden UCLA job opens up and UCLA kind of gets in the mix. As we went off the air Sunday night, there was some tweets out that it's a done deal. Kelly signed, the president and everybody flew up to New Hampshire to make it official. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, not so fast. We talked last week about what was going on. Long story short, Chip Kelly decided to go with UCLA. Some people say that was a great choice. Other people say the wrong choice. All the attention turned to Scott Frost at UCF. All of a sudden, the Nebraska job opens up. And so Scott Frost and Scott Frost's team undefeated heading into the AAC championship game this weekend. So he's not obviously going to make any decisions. And then as of today, Todd, Florida named Dan Mullen as their head coach. So why don't we start there, Todd? Let's get your take on the Chip Kelly, Dan Mullen signings as far as the first two signings to happen in college football. What do you think about where both coaches landed, and are you happy as a Gator fan?
Well, what a complex and great question, Sean. So in the last week to 10 days, even more since Coach Mac was shown the door. It's been wild. It's been a wild ride. I think as a Florida Gator alumni and fan, I pretty much knew that we'd get a quality coach. It was just who are we going to get, right? Mm. So I was on, I think I voiced my opinion last week. Look, if Florida ended up with Chip Kelly, I think it would have been fine. Offense would have been all over the place. I had concerns. I don't think he likes to recruit, and you have to recruit at Florida. He also has a little bit of a checkered past as far as some violations go. I was not a huge Chip Kelly guy. I was big on the Scott Frost bandwagon, and I was kind of lukewarm with Dan Mullen. So fast forward to yesterday, they announced it today, his press conference. I saw his press conference, half of it. I'm halfway through on YouTube. I was watching it before. And as the day went on today, I became increasingly more happy, more satisfied, more fired up about this coaching assignment. I mean, and Sean, you're not shy. Cut me off. I can go on for a while on this. But you had a guy named Chip Kelly and Scott Frost. They both were offered the job, and they passed. So they don't want to be here. That's fine. You have a guy, Dan Mullen, with pedigree experience. He's from the Urban Meyer coaching tree, right? Done a really good job, solid job in Mississippi State. And you watch the press conference, and I'm very excited he's our coach. I think he's going to do good things. Just couldn't be happier. Couldn't be happier. I wish those guys luck. If Scott Frost would rather be in Nebraska and doesn't really want to be at Florida, then this is not the place for him. And yep. I think it worked out with a good signing of Dan Mullen.
I think it checks a lot of boxes, you know, in the making you feel comfortable, right? He knows Florida. He's obviously coached there under Urban Meyer, has two national championship rings, which will be nice on recruiting visits when he goes into he has, I think, five SEC championship rings, maybe four. He's worked with Scott Strickland, the athletic director. He knows the SEC. He knows the ins and outs of SEC media days and all those little things, which will just make him super easy and not stressed on those types of things. He's recruited the South. He's got an excellent pedigree with quarterbacks, right? All the way back from his Alex Smith days at
Utah.
At Utah. He's coached Tebow and Chris Leak. He's coached Dak Prescott and Nick Fitzgerald. He likes offense. He kind of looks up to kind of one of his mentors slash idols was Steve Spurrier. Bill, before you got on the air, Todd was making reference to Dan Mullen was talking about how when he took his very first coaching job at Wagner on Long Island,
Staten Island.
He always liked Spurrier's style, and so he said, "When I become a head coach, I'm going to wear a visor, just like Spurrier." So that's kind of cool. And Spurrier was in the room with him. He kind of answered all the things you wanted to hear as a Gator fan. Is that right, Todd?
Yeah, he talked about how he loves scoring. He said that Coach Spurrier may argue with him, but no one likes scoring better than him. He said he's very competitive. He used the phrase champions of life, but in a good way, not maybe a Butch Jones way. But he said, hey, it starts January. First thing he's going to do is look at the kids and their grades, the ones that are here. He's going to get them to buy into what are the expectations are, what the goals are. And obviously, recruiting's topped his list. He said, the reason I was so successful is you had Tim Tebow throwing to Percy Harvin, Lewis Murphy, Bubba Caldwell. You had Joe Hayden playing corner. You had Brandon Spikes pounding running backs at linebacker. So he realizes that he was successful with really good talent. So I think the X's and O's would be great. He said he's going to run a spread offense. He wants to make it as wide as possible. Just, again, take some time, watch that YouTube press conference. It'll get you fired up if you're a Florida fan.
For sure. But what are your thoughts? You're kind of the witness here, the bystander. But what are you thinking? What are you hearing? I know you've been busy with family and stuff, but what's the vibe down there?
Well, we'll start with Chip Kelly first. I think that I think it was really good for him to sign with UCLA. Right, he knows, just as you're talking about Mullen knowing the SEC, Chip Kelly dominated the Pac-12.
West Coast guy, right?
He's back where he needs to be. I don't think that. To be quite honest, I don't think he wanted any of what the SEC brings to a coach because that's just not his gig. So that made perfect sense. Scott Frost, I guess, you know, you once again, be able to go back home to go to where he, you know, it makes perfect sense for Nebraska. So if the only thing that's negative for me is that it feels bad that it's like Mullen was the third choice, right?
Yeah.
However, that's how it works in big time athletics. I think that even Mullen would say to somebody, "Yeah, Chip Kelly was, you know, definitely probably the one that everybody wanted because of the opportunity to bring offense and all that great stuff." So that's kind of the word down here. I know that in this morning's paper, the local columnist was really high on Mullen. He kind of read off all the things you did, right? All the boxes that were checked, Sean. And really, for me, I guess just as an outsider looking in, the coaching of those quarterbacks, you know, whether if he's the quarterback whisperer or whatever he is, but to be able to get the most out of those guys, to be able to understand, to be able to recruit that kind of talent, right, and bring in a Dak Prescott or Nick Fitzgerald. And didn't he get Mississippi State to number one in the country like a couple years ago? Yeah, I mean,
he sure did.
It's pretty impressive stuff that he's accomplished. And that was at Mississippi State. So I think you bring him into Florida, like I said, back home where he's at, I think Florida fans should be super happy about this.
Yeah, I think he, you know, we'll see. And it's been announced Nussmeier will not return as offensive coordinator, which I think is a huge, no one's going to be sad about that. He's bringing, I'm drawing a blank on his name, the defensive coordinator that's worked with him.
Grantham?
Yeah, Todd Grantham, who once again came out of Georgia's program. So I think anytime you kind of know the league, you know the personnel, you know, here's another checkbox. Florida's road West game next year against Mississippi State in Starkville.
Yeah.
He's going to walk in there. He's going to be comfortable. He's going to know the surroundings, and he's going to know the personnel on the other side. He may not know the style, but he's going to, that'll be a, you know, easy tape still for him to watch, because he's going to be able to circle guys and talk about strengths, weaknesses, tendencies, things like that. So we'll see. We're excited. We have two coaches. I think that Todd, if things go right with Mullen and Mike White, on the basketball court, could be in Gainesville for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, shame on me for maybe not being an early adopter for Mullen for whatever reason. But he said, you know, 9 years ago, he took the head coaching position at Mississippi State. I believe his wife made some comments leaving Gainesville that were brought up at the press conference today. And he just said, "Hey, we've all changed in 9 years. One, and two, believe me, if my wife wasn't excited to be here, we would not be here."
Yeah.
Which we all know where that came from. So two things, Bill, you mentioned third choice, man, $6 million a year. That heals a lot of heartache, right? So
yeah.
6 years, $36 million. Another quick question, Bill, you're a West Coast guy. Do you think Kelly might've considered Arizona State over UCLA? The Arizona State coach got fired, I think, right after Kelly got
Yeah,
fired.
Todd Graham, they let Todd Graham go.
I wonder if that would have even been a better gig for him.
I think that through. I mean, I'm going to say no. I think UCLA is the higher profile position. You know, he's already – I think you equate taking the Oregon gig would have been like taking Arizona State. It's kind of that same thing. Because Oregon was a second-tier operation when he got there, right? And that's the right. Same thing. Arizona State is they win the South every now and then, but they never compete on a national level. So I think UCLA the only scary part about UCLA is will they commit to football, right? SC is all about football all the time. UCLA is not really
well, and I think that's
put a lot of energy into football, and maybe this is the first
some month. Of the national pundits were saying that that's actually kind of one of the good things on Chip's behalf, because he can kind of almost just be that fourth or fifth or sixth or tenth option for LA people to care about, right? You got Hollywood, you got the beach,
Lakers.
You got the weather, you got Lakers, you got the Clippers, you've got the
LA Rams who are kicking ass.
You got two football teams. You got the Dodgers. You got, and, you know, you've got soccer. You've got, there's so much things.
Wait. What'd you say? What'd you say, Todd?
I said aspiring actresses you have in LA.
Yeah, they're very busy too. So that
AKA waitresses that look, you know, one's better looking than the other. I'm sorry.
All right.
Well, hey, one thing, Todd, when you mentioned Mullen, how he kind of wasn't on a radar, but it was like one of those, like, hey, if we get him, we get him, right? I'm glad we got him now. And we're not seeing him go to Tennessee, because that was kind of one of the rumors that he was on the short list of Tennessee. Well, as it turns out, last night really became a shitstorm, where Mullen was introduced, and then almost within an hour on ESPN's like front page, it said, "Breaking news, Mullen to accept Florida job. Breaking news, Schiano offered job at Tennessee." Greg Schiano, co-defensive coordinator at Ohio State, former Rutgers coach, former Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach. He was, quote-unquote, offered the job at Tennessee by AD John Curry, and Tennessee melted down. The fan base obviously didn't want him. It got very viral, very fast. There was on-site protests. There was former players. Did you see what Albert Haynesworth said? Albert Haynesworth, former defensive tackle for Tennessee, tweeted out, he's going to make this very clear. He will take his interests and his money to another school if the administration doesn't care about the program anymore. It was very, you know, very much an attack on Shiano. But what's been your thoughts on this? Because it's going to be an interesting case in both kind of the trial by jury, you know, guilty before proven innocent.
Yeah.
With the allegations of the Jerry Sandusky rape and the pressure that the fans through social media put on the administration, as well as, does this make any other coach want to go to Tennessee? So just maybe hit on either one of those two or both of those.
Yeah. So I've been watching that closely, reading a lot about it. And it was just one guy, and I don't have his name in front of me, but one guy made a comment to someone else about the fact that Shiano knew, even though it happened after his time, right? But he was aware of it and didn't say anything. That's kind of the crux of this whole thing, that he knew Sandusky was this evil guy and did not talk about it or did not share that information, as well as a whole bunch of other people at Penn State, right? A lot of people knew that and didn't say anything. But for Shiano, for that to pop up now.
Yeah, it's so weird, right?
Because he was at the Bucks. He was in the NFL. That should
have been Rutgers. He came to Ohio State.
Should have come up Rutgers. It should have come up at Ohio. A lot of people knew nothing about this, but this one guy had this story, and it really is kind of a he said, she said, just one-on-one kind of a thing. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute. And it's, unless it was, you know, Todd, I think you agree with me here. Unless it was someone just really doesn't like Shiano and, you know, found a way to find this quote that then turned it into this storm you talked about. It just seems kind of odd to me. Now, look, I'll be honest. The way I think about these things is if he was in any way, shape or form, you know, had knowledge of this and purposefully hid it, that's a huge problem. And he's going to be in trouble for that. And he should be out at Ohio State, let alone, you know, not get the job at Tennessee. But that's such a flimsy, it seems to be such a flimsy argument that's painting him with this guilt in this situation. Do you follow that?
The viral picture of the rock at Tennessee that was painted and it said, you know, Shiano knew about child rape or hid child rape or whatever. Well, that you can't unhide that. You can't take those photos down. You can't instruct the jury to disregard the statement.
Right.
You know, Shiano doesn't coach again, a head coach job. I mean, there's just, I don't think he gets a head coaching job. Well, in this year, he's not going to get a head coaching job of the multitude of jobs that are open right now.
Yeah, it's tough. And as far as Tennessee, there's only one guy left that can go back there, right? You're hearing all this stuff, I'm sure, just like everybody else.
T. Martin?
No, Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. I think T. Martin and Cutcliffe are the two names I've heard. Kiffin.
Could you imagine that?
If they take him back after this, I mean, you know, and now they're talking that the AD is going to be let go. So the AD shouldn't be the one to hire the coach, because if he's going to be let go because of fumbling this whole – you think John Gruden's not happy he didn't –
ooh.
Take that job seriously?
Yeah,
Sean, this whole thing is so disturbing on so many levels. First of all, Bill, I think it goes without saying, and Sean, I would agree, if he had any knowledge or anyone had any knowledge of what went down with Jerry Sandusky, you know, whatever they get, they deserve. But apparently in thousands and thousands of pages of what's the legal term where you question them before your
depositions? Or
depositions. Yeah,
deposition. Thank you. Depositions. Apparently, in one sentence in all these thousand pages, it was a secondhand. He might have
seen something.
Done this, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they never deposed Shiano. So obviously, the powers to be who were prosecuting this didn't think that he was involved enough to even question him on it, right? So I think you have a situation where social media just is too powerful. Is that a good hire? We could argue, did Tennessee make a good hire? That's a different statement. But this guy's life is forever changed and forever scarred. And as you say, Sean, he may never get another head coaching opportunity because perception is reality, right?
Well, Todd, as it was happening, as I was watching this on my phone last night, having dinner, having a burger and a beer in Statesville, North Carolina, I see a tweet come across from a local Columbus station saying students are gathering now on campus to demand Shiano's firing. Right. So they're hearing from a friend of a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
And they're like, wait, this guy works for us. He needs to be fired.
Yeah.
You know, it just is, you know, it's kind of our society right now. Right. The this happened and this happened. And don't worry about if it's true or not. Just put it out in the media and we'll worry about that after the fact.
Well, you know, the rush to judgment is a shame. Gosh, I hope he sues Tennessee and gets some money. I mean, the monetary damage that he not only took now, but in years to come is terrible. And yeah. Again, it goes without saying what Bill said, I echo. But in this case, I think it's just no proof, just throwing mud at the wall. And obviously it sticked. I think it's a black eye in Tennessee. I mean, this is a program in the last 10 years. It's a 500 program, wins and losses. I mean, they're acting like they're an elite powerhouse. And I don't want to go too much on a bunny trail, but God, just that whole thing kind of saddened me. Forget whether he's the right hire or not. Just the way the power and the masses of social media can totally change someone's life in a split second.
And here, just so we're clear about this, and we have it. I'm looking right at the story. It was a 2015 deposition that Mike McQuarrie, who was heavily involved in the
Sandusky,
he testified that another Penn State assistant coach, Tom Bradley, had told him that Shiano had talked to Bradley about seeing Sandusky abusing a boy sometime in the early 90s. Both Shiano and Bradley, most, you know, he's recently an assistant at UCLA, they've denied the allegations and said they had no knowledge of the abuse. Now, you know, that taking that, he's really, it was three different levels of,
yes,
he told him, he told him, and he told him, that's now guilt. That's not right. But this is not right. And I understand it's a horrific, you know, situation with Sandusky, but you can't pillory a guy for that, with just that flimsiest of, you know, alleged, you know, guilt. So anyways,
it's going to be interesting, guys. 25 minutes in here on Coaching Corner. We haven't even talked about sports yet, and we still have, I just want to hit quickly on four more jobs. Let me start with the easy one. Matt Campbell, the kind of the poster boy and the kid that's been getting a lot of looks, re-signed at Iowa State. Clearly is either going to just see what happens in the next couple of years and go back, or he's really dedicated to build a program in Ames, which I don't see that as being his long tail play. No. But maybe his family's happy there and he likes what he's got. Arkansas, not a shock, but kind of a shock the way it happened. Now the rumor is that that Brett Bielema was fired on the field, was told he would not be returning as coach on the field. There's some rumors now that was, it was in the tunnel off the field. Long story short, it was stated that the reason why was so that he could tell his players himself and he could say goodbye to his players because they were heading off for the long holiday weekend, obviously playing the game on Friday. So that was interesting. And then
sorry to jump in. What a class guy. He stood that whole press conference and did nothing but thank Arkansas, praise his players.
Yeah. I got a buddy up here who's a agent with us, and he's an Arkansas guy. He walked on the basketball team down there. He said, look, I really like the guy. He's a great guy. He's just not the right guy to coach our team.
Which I think
you know, you can appreciate. And then this one, guys, is interesting. Texas A&M has let Kevin Sumlin go. And now I don't even know, it's a rumor now that it seems like it's very close to almost happening, is that Jimbo Fisher is going to leave Florida State to go to Texas A&M, which I just don't understand.
Is it an SEC versus ACC? Is that important?
Florida State's one of the premiers teams in the ACC. Obviously, Miami is kind of on the rise, and Clemson is clearly there. But going to Texas A&M, where you're going to play Alabama every year, it's not like you're going to all of a sudden have a free pass there. Oh, and if LSU is good, and if Auburn is good. So interesting that you got Jimbo Fisher considering possibly going to Texas A&M, and then Gus Malzahn possibly going to Arkansas after possibly putting his team in the playoffs. Going to be interesting, guys. Our coaching discussion isn't done. So right now, openings at Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Tennessee, three premier programs in the SEC, as well as Arizona State out west. I think as we sort of start segueing into games, I think both coaches we're going to see on Saturday's game, UCF versus Memphis. I think both those coaches will be coaching their last game after the bowl game with that program, because I think both those guys are going somewhere. I would guess Norville is going to be probably heading SEC and Frost to Nebraska.
Norville was the offensive coordinator for Graham.
And, oh, he was. Okay.
And previous, before that, even he was there in the Cutter days, I think.
Oh, okay.
Arizona State, you think?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that was part of the thought process for Arizona State was we don't want to let him get away. Maybe we can get him back. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, so let's just keep our eyes on that, because I think Norville could go to Florida State if Fisher goes to A&M. Really interesting things happen in the coaching world.
But, hey, Sean, real quick.
Yeah.
Jimbo, how long have you been at Florida State? 10 years now?
7 or 8, I think.
He's won a national, and you know these guys are wired for challenges. That's the only reason why it wouldn't surprise me if he'd take an opportunity at Texas A&M.
Yeah, I agree. He's won a national. He's had a Heisman Trophy winner. He's first coach in Florida State history to have 5 straight wins over the Gators.
Who knows?
They got Francois back off an injury season, so we'll see. So let's talk some games. Let's kind of go in order. Just give me your thoughts, if you have any, on some of the rivalry games. Egg Bowl, Thursday night. That game was very chippy. Neither of you guys were watching when Nick Fitzgerald got injured. Mm. Turns out it wasn't as bad of an injury end result, but it was one of the ugly injuries here where his foot got twisted around. That game had some animosity. I'll just say that. There was a
– Usually does, right?
It usually does. Ole Miss wins that game as Mullen takes the job at Florida. Perhaps the game of the weekend, the war on I-4, which – great name. The USF team comes into Orlando, plays an undefeated UCF, and that game was fun to watch. That was honestly one of the funnest games I've seen this year, as far as just up and down the field, great plays, Quentin Flowers on display with some serious talent.
500 yards passing and another 100 on the ground. Yeah. Think about that. Over 600 yards of offense.
In 4 quarters, no yeah. overtime.
No.
What'd you guys think of that game? Anything?
Classic last team with the ball wins, and it almost happened. Flowers, there was a turnover in that final drive when they were trying to go yep. down to get the winning score after the kick return for a touchdown that gave UCF the lead. Unbelievable game.
Not to get ahead, but similar to last night's game, Duke versus Florida. Florida had a chance to win it at the end and turnover, and it went the other way. And yep. we'll circle back to that. Yep. Todd, your Saturday slate, early games, you had Ohio State, Michigan, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech. I know we kind of had our eyes on the Gator game, but we had to take our eyes off of it because it just was not a good game to watch. Anything on those morning on those 12 o'clock games that you want to comment on?
Yeah, best thing about the Gator game were the uniforms. Love the white hats, the orange jerseys, and the white pants.
Looked like the Patriots. Looked like the New England Patriots, kind of, yeah.
I loved it. Watched a little bit of that. Obviously, had my eye on Georgia Tech. That was a beatdown. And I'm sure we're going to segue to the SEC Championship game. Well, Georgia's in a good spot. Revenge on their mind. Auburn was yucking it up a couple weeks ago, and now they're like, "Uh oh, we have Georgia to play and beat again," which is hard to beat a good team twice. And obviously,
they're not playing with Jordan-Hare,
yep,
right? And
yep.
they're playing with an injured. I think Kerryon Johnson's going to play,
yeah,
but I think he's going to be a little bit injured. So you know what that means. Georgia's going to be tackling him heavy under that shoulder.
And we'll talk about Auburn, the 3:30 games. They beat 2 number one teams in 3 weeks. Hats off to them. But, gosh, I would spoiler alert, I think I'm going to pick Georgia to win that game. But obviously watched Ohio State, Michigan. Michigan played it a little closer than I thought they might. But, again, talk about a team that had a lot of hype preseason. They're not beating the big boys, right? They're beating up on the little teams they're supposed to, but they still have some way to go under
Harbaugh. And let me use a term Bill used earlier. Jim Harbaugh seems to be the anti-quarterback whisperer.
Yeah.
Wilton Spate, specimen quarterback, very Tom Brady-esque in his height and his stature, got injured, just was not – he wasn't Tom Brady. Let's just say he wasn't – lighting up the field. Then John O'Korn just was not, you know, his passing was just not good enough against a good Buckeye defense. Let's give Haskins, Dwayne Haskins, some credit as a backup quarterback. True freshman comes in and spells a injured JT Barrett down six, third and 11, season on the line. Just makes an absolute seed of a throw and great catch by Hanks there for the Buckeyes between two defenders. Goes down to score. They rip off 17 unanswered in that fourth quarter. Where Michigan just could not sustain a drive. I think they had a couple three and outs and then a really bad interception at the wrong time. And Ohio State was just kind of doing everything they could just to kind of move the chains. They were running everything inside the hash marks. They weren't throwing it all over the yard, and just they were just kind of waiting for that Weber, you know, and Dobbins to just bust a big run, which they did, and won 31-20. It wasn't a 11-point beatdown. It was 11 points scored at the back end of the game.
Methodical victory for them, right?
Yeah. Which I think will tie in, and maybe we'll talk about it. You know, if they do get past Wisconsin, but it happens to be a close, ugly win, you know, once again, it's just something else for the committee to look at. Just another piece of the resume, four or five levels down, right?
Hey, Sean, Urban Meyer, real quick, head scratching, typical Urban Meyer, the investigation he wants on the camera, the mystery camera. On the flip side, really was impressed how he came out today and he said, hey, man, Sean is my coach. I stand by him. I don't know if he's still employed with Ohio State, but I don't know if you saw that in the media. He basically stood up for him and said, hey, he's my guy. He's my coach.
So, I did not see that. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in this town, you can have all your little protests you want. Urban Meyer, the governor, are pretty close. You know, Jim Tressel was the same way. You know, they called him the senator. So interesting. Bill, did you catch any of the Iron Bowl? That was just Alabama just seemed to be a little off. You know, those two plays at the end where they snapped the ball two in a row, just so un-Saban-like.
So
I know he's not the discipline was interesting.
Yeah, that look, I like most people in the country, unless you're an Alabama fan, I was rooting for Auburn to win. I don't root for Alabama ever. It's the Yankees, Steelers, whatever you want to call it, you know, syndrome that forces me to root against the teams that kind of win all the time. So I was happy to see the result. But you're right. It just felt like Alabama was in position. They were going to drive down, make this a game. It was going to be – everything was working in their favor. And to watch Malzahn just go nuts on the sideline on that second snap where it happened so early. We've all seen it many, many times now. Three men in motion as well as 12 men on the field on defense.
Yeah.
And then understanding the rules that the 12 men is reviewable, but motion or illegal procedure is not. So even though the officials are watching that replay, counting the defense and seeing all this motion going on, they end up giving them the 5 yards. And what a great stop by the Auburn defense to not let that receiver get that first down. And that really ended the game, I think, for Alabama, all intents and purposes right there.
So, yeah.
So a lot of fun.
Definitely. And then out west, you had the Arizona State game. I believe Arizona won that one, right?
Arizona State won that game, not Arizona.
And then they fired their coach afterwards,
Still fired the coach at 6-6. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Or 6-6. Yeah. So, yeah, they're that's. Yeah, I think with Graham, they were just tired of the quick starts and then sloppy finish seasons and a whole lot of 500 ball. There was a 10-win season mixed in there, like anything else, but they needed something different. Needed a change. So.
Yep. In the late games, the national TV late games, Clemson just pounded USC. That was, it was a close three quarters of the first quarter. And then the bad throw by Jake Bentley for the pick six on his own 5 yard line was just horrendous. And he threw it, he ended up throwing two more. Washington State was just an absolute beatdown. Washington State, a lot of people were picking them to win at Washington, and the Apple Cup wasn't even close. And then
and that was for a championship game.
That was, well, if Washington State would have won, they would have been in the championship by Washington winning, put Stanford in.
Yeah.
So Stanford knew kind of early because they could see the scoreboard that they, if they beat Notre Dame, well, it didn't matter if they beat Notre Dame or not, they were in.
Yeah.
But that game was close. And then Big Mo visited and Notre Dame threw, I think, two interceptions and a fumble, and it quickly flipped, and Stanford just went, you know, went away with it on the other side. So, so let's talk very, really quickly, guys. Tomorrow we're going to find out the four. Doesn't matter next week. It's the following week that's going to matter. But Bill, give me your four right now.
Wisconsin, Clemson.
Wisconsin one? Or
No. Wisconsin. Okay. I'll start. Wisconsin's going to be four. Don't you think? Okay. I don't think I'll put them at four. Let's put Auburn at one.
Ooh,
two
losses. Yeah. Okay. Clemson, and then you go Oklahoma or Clemson?
Clemson next, then Oklahoma. Okay. I know it's a two-loss Auburn team, but man, to beat two number ones within 3 weeks, like Todd mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, and if they do beat Georgia, they're absolutely going to be number one, right? With a two-loss for the first time ever in the history of the playoffs, a two-loss team not only makes the playoffs, but I say gets seeded one.
I think it could happen, Bill.
It could.
Sean, I got Oklahoma, Clemson. Auburn, Wisconsin, Georgia 5, Ohio State 6.
Where's Alabama? 7?
Alabama.
Alabama.
Alabama 6, Ohio State 7. I think you're right.
Yeah. Okay. And so you completely dropped Miami out of the top because they lost to Pitt.
Yeah. But, well, I'm hearing if the Miami Clemson winner goes, right? I'm hearing.
I would think so.
I'm hearing SEC champ goes, ACC champ goes. And then Oklahoma or Wisconsin, if they win, they're in, right?
Yep.
If not, then you have the Alabamas, the Ohio States, and Alabama, Ohio State.
So it's the upset. It's not the upset, but it's Wisconsin losing, right?
Yep.
You know, that's going to really kind of open up the door for Alabama or Ohio State or somebody. Or,
yeah.
Upsets Oklahoma, that'll be a big deal, right?
I think here's the big story. I think everyone's worrying about what's going to happen between Alabama and Ohio State, and Nebraska or Wisconsin's getting zero consideration.
Yeah.
Now last time this situation, Ohio State dropped 59 on Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game, and it wasn't even close. Cardell Jones, you know, was the backup quarterback. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, if Wisconsin wins, they're in, right? There's no question about that.
Yeah.
If Wisconsin wins, they're in. I think there's three games, really four, all four games that impact the playoffs. So you got the SEC championship game, right? You have the
winners in, right?
Winners in. Yep. Yeah, no doubt. Winners in, losers out.
Yep.
I think, no doubt.
I agree.
Losers out. So that'd be Auburn's third loss or be Georgia's second loss.
Right.
Yep.
If Texas Christian and Oklahoma.
Oklahoma right? wins, they're in.
Oklahoma wins, they're in. Oklahoma loses. Texas Christian is not automatically in.
Right.
Nope.
Miami, Clemson, I think winner's in.
Winner's in.
Right? Winner's in. Both teams lost to bad teams on the road.
Losers out. Yep.
Losers out.
And then it comes down to the Big Ten. Ohio State wins. It depends on what else happens in the other games. And then it comes down to, are you judging the better wins? Does the weaker losses come into play? Alabama will have a loss against the number, possibly this week's number one team on the road, bitter rival. Ohio State would have had a loss 15 points on their home field and 31 points at a 6-6 Iowa team.
But they had a better strength of schedule than Alabama, right?
Better strength of schedule, right? But and in that case, they would have won the Big Ten. But the same argument last year was Ohio State didn't win the conference and didn't get in, and did get in. So it's kind of interesting that if Ohio State doesn't get in, they can't get mad at the system because they benefited last year by the same
but they'll find a way.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Sean, I think a lot of crazy things have to happen for Ohio State to get in. That said, if they do find a way to get in, they're one of those teams, it's hard to bet against them, right? Urban Meyer's a big-game coach.
Big time.
I heard a really
he was last year. He's a big-game coach last year, too, and he got 31-0 to Clemson.
Well,
yeah, I hear you. So I heard an interesting stat today. There's only six teams in college football over the last 10 years that have won 10 games, 100 games or more in those 10 years. So at least 10 wins, averaging 10 wins a season. The obvious ones are Ohio State, Alabama. The one that surprised me, Wisconsin has won 100 games in the last 10 years.
Wow.
So that's how
Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, Alabama, Ohio State, Wisconsin.
Florida State?
I want to say Florida State. I'm not sure the six is. I'd have to do a little research. But
interesting.
Clemson. I think it was Clemson. Can they be one of them? Have they been good for 10 years? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they, you know, you don't win your conference, but you win nine and then a bowl game, you know?
So, yeah. But Wisconsin surprised me. That definitely surprised me.
Interesting. Well, college football clearly had our attention this weekend because it's so impactful at this point in time. But once again, I texted you guys three words on Friday, pump the brakes, because, you know, I would be shocked if we see a Auburn, Ohio State, or Auburn, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, Clemson all win. I just think one of those teams will lose. Yep. And, you know, gosh, Ohio State with a JT Barrett injury, you know, Dwayne Haskins almost rewrites the story from 3 years ago, a backup coming in the Michigan game and then leading the team possibly to the championship.
Bill, the way you said it,
Auburn would play Oklahoma in a bowl game and Clemson would play Wisconsin. I think Clemson would take that all day long. It'd be interesting. I don't know if it's seeded. Does the 1-4 automatically go to the Rose Bowl and the 2-3 plays in the Peach? Or?
Yeah, they have it. I don't know which is which, but it's already set up.
But it is set up. So 1-4 goes one place, yep, and 2-3 goes somewhere else. Okay. And I believe it is the
Rose Bowl's one of them.
Rose and Sugar.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And then they play the championship game in Atlanta.
Correct.
In the Mercedes-Benz. Right.
Yeah.
John, you want to do a quick – go ahead. But want to do a
I was
quick,
just going to say, is there any Heisman
– No.
Yeah, I think – I think Baker Mayfield, yeah. I think, has it. I mean, you know, yeah. JT – Bryce Love is the second – in second place right now in the voting, and he's, you know, so far back, so –
Penn State kid will get – he'll go to New York, but
– Saquon Barkley, yeah. But once again, he fell off the map once they lost Ohio State. Even though he had a lot of – if they would have won that game, I think he's probably still in the lead or in the conversation. But right now I think it's Baker Mayfield's to lose. Todd, you said do we want to do what?
A quick championship game prediction. Go through the major ones real quick.
So yeah, sure. Yeah, let's go to the ACC.
I'll start. I think, I want to say Miami. I think Clemson wins it.
Clemson. Yeah.
Clemson for me. Let's go Big 12.
Oklahoma.
I think it. I agree.
Yeah, Oklahoma. Is that game played in Kansas City or is it a home game? It's not Norman, is it?
It's not. Isn't it in Dallas?
Oh, yeah, it's probably in the Jerry World. Yeah, that would make sense. I'll say Oklahoma there. Let's go in a game that really doesn't matter, but the Pac-12, you got Stanford versus USC.
Wow.
Ugh.
I will go Stanford.
I'll take USC just to be different.
Yeah, I think I'm going to – that Costello guy, quarterback for Stanford, impressed me with where's that game played? Is that in Santa Clara?
Yeah, that's at that Levi Stadium.
I'll take Stanford. Yeah. Thanks. That's right up the street.
Yep.
And then the next game is at 4:00. That's the SEC championship game. Todd, you're going to go.
I think Georgia rights the ship and watches a lot of game film and wins.
I think Auburn's got so much confidence and not too much. I really want to see Auburn win the whole thing.
Oh man, that's it's funny because people that hate Alabama. If you think about it, you should hate Auburn too, you know, because they've, you know, they're another team that wins a lot. I know they haven't won a lot of championships, but they're there. I will say Georgia too, Todd. I think that, you know, with Chubb and with Sony Michel, you know,
Swift.
Now can a freshman QB sustain the gobs of pressure that Auburn's going to put on them? And then the Big Ten championship game, Wisconsin, Ohio State. Todd, who you got?
I would absolutely love to say Wisconsin, but my head is telling me that Ohio State gets it done.
It's finally the year for Wisconsin to get it done.
Wisconsin. Okay. Yep. Wisconsin wins the Big Ten, then gets pounded in the playoff game.
Maybe not. We don't know.
We'll see. Probably. Their freshman running back's pretty solid. That Jonathan Taylor, impressive kid. Allen Hornibrook, the left-handed QB, throws a very tight spiral. I'm going to go with the Buckeyes. I think Buckeyes bludgeon it out. I think it's a ugly game, but unfortunately, we're going to have to listen to Gus Johnson enunciate every play of the game. But I'll say Buckeyes win like a 32-22 game, something like that.
All right. Memphis UCF, Sean, one more.
Oh, Memphis UCF. Yeah. Does UCF get the perfect season and walk into the group of five bowl game, probably Peach Bowl versus the loser of the SEC championship game? What do you think, Bill?
I'll take UCF. Yeah, I'll stick with the Florida team.
I want to say UCF. I used to live 10 minutes from their campus. But I think in my Georgia theory, I think Memphis looks at the game film when UCF handled them early on, and I think they make adjustments. And Memphis would be upset.
Okay. I'm going to go Memphis, too. I like this Norville guy. He scores a lot of points. That could be a fun game to watch. So that one's going to be on my radar to watch that game, because that Milton kid, that QB for UCF, is a fun kid to watch as well. Really quick, guys. Has there been a better early season tournament than the PK80?
A lot of fun.
Oh, my God. First of all, I love the way they did it in Portland. Two different arenas, two different flights, or I'm not sure what they call it, two different brackets.
Yep.
You had two Big Ten teams. You had two SEC teams. You had two ACC teams. You had two Pac-10 teams. You had two Big East teams. It was really, really cool. And it was basically just a little mini draw with eight teams playing down to a champion on both sides.
And all of them are Nike teams.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's for Phil Knight's 80th birthday. So PKA. Yeah. I love it. I love the fact they pulled that whole thing together. Beautiful.
So I did stay up and watch almost the end of it. Todd, my tweet was pretty spot on, wasn't it? I sent a tweet about 8 minutes to go in the game or 12 minutes to go in the game. I wasn't sure if I was going to make it, but look, Florida had three or five chances to win it. They were up double digits early. They were up double digits late second or late first half. They were up double digits 10 minutes to go in the game. They were up 14, I think. Look, I'll go on record and say it. Marvin Bagley Jr. is a hybrid between Shaquille O'Neal, Greg Oden, and Chris Webber. I mean, he is a beast.
6'11", right?
6'11". And the reason I like the Webber reference is he can really body up. He takes the ball right to the rim. He doesn't block like Oden does, but he's got that lanky body.
He can defend anybody, right?
And that's where I think the Shaq, I mean, yeah. Well, he does go out on the wing. He shot a three last night. I think he missed it, but I mean, he had an open look and the shot looked good. He hits his free throws. He is good. Duke is obviously number one for a reason. I saw the rankings today. Florida actually went up a spot loss. They went from 7 to 6 with a loss, but I think they showed the nation that if they can just start, Chioza, once again, is the point guard. He's got to take good shots at the end of the game. And he took three or four that him and Kevon Allen just missed a lot of, 12 footers last night that they just seemed to force, you're never sure why a team that is running and gunning to a big lead all of a sudden then wants to throttle it back and slow it down and sit on that lead. I'm sure you can argue both ways, right? That you don't need to run yourself out of it, but you also don't need to change it so much. But look, I'm really happy Mike White. I like what he's doing. We don't have John Egbunu. Michigan State looked solid. NC looked good.
Do you see what happens? Do you see this? There are three or four freshmen that are starting for Coach K.
Four.
Yeah, so
and then Grayson Allen,
the old grizzled veteran, right? So, is this the beginning of a one and done for Coach K until something changes in the rules?
Maybe.
These guys are all going pro next year. I mean, Bagley for sure.
Bagley for sure. Yeah,
it's crazy.
And, yeah. Well, I mean, it's the old if you can't beat him, join him, right?
Right. I think you're right. Yeah.
Hey, Sean, as a Florida guy, real quick, it would have been great to beat number one, right? But I think maybe this loss will help us in March, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
Coachable. I think Mike White, God, what a diamond in the rough, right? I did, you know,
Hudson's a great player. I like his look. I like Igor, Kurlov or whatever, the transfer.
Yeah.
It was just a fun team, athletic team. They obviously, you know, Keith Stone is not a ball handler. The big guys need to just get the ball inside, but they play a very much a wing perimeter game. You know, live by the three, die by the three. Just hope it doesn't happen in the wrong game, right? But they're getting a lot of love nationally, except from Seth Greenberg. He's still jumping on their wagon a little bit late. All right, guys, let's wrap up a couple. NFL, anything jump out at you, Bill? How'd you do fantasy-wise yesterday?
We don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
So I'm 7-5. There's 1 week to go. I haven't really done a deep analysis. 7-6 usually makes the playoffs. Usually. Sometimes it doesn't. So I'm on the bubble with my team after really I was 7-2 at one point. I'm a 3-game losing streak at the moment. So thanks for bringing that up.
That's all right.
Yeah, I love that. No, I mean, how about the Eagles?
Yeah, there's continue to pound, right?
Continue. And how about the Cleveland Browns?
Continue to get pound.
The first team to go 0-11 back-to-back seasons. The first team to go back-to-back seasons 0-11 since the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Wow. In years
1-2, right? So the Browns now share that lovely stat with the Bucks. So that's the game just tough to watch.
Game that stood out for me, maybe not the best game, Buffalo KC. I mean, KC continues to go the wrong way.
1-5 in their last six games.
That makes the LA Chargers one game out of first with the Raiders in the West.
How about that? And they both of them play the Chiefs still yet right. This season.
And the Chargers were 0-4, and they're one game out at the 11-game mark. That's crazy.
And the Rams slowed down New Orleans, who is seemingly won 7-8 in a row.
Yeah,
I mean, LA, I heard they're not drawing well out there, but both teams are, in contention. So.
Well, the Chargers can't draw well. Their stadium seats like 26,000.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Yes, it's tiny.
Yeah, they're playing like a soccer stadium. Yeah.
And they're not filling that up. So
I thought they were playing the Coliseum. I guess I misunderstood.
No,
so I think it's pretty safe to say New England and Pittsburgh are going to get the byes in the East.
Cream of the crop. Yep.
Or in the AFC. Now, they play game in week 15. So two more weeks they play in Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh probably has the tougher schedule to finish the season. But that game will be a test. And I think clearly if New England finds a way to win that, you might not see Tom Brady play in week 16 or 17 unless he's just totally going for the MVP. But right now, I think the kid in Philly, I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I mean he's looking like he could they're one loss, they're playing strong. New England, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Jacksonville, virtual tie for the AFC South. I think Tennessee has one more division win, but they played one more game. And then KC, once again, you said Philadelphia, Minnesota, New Orleans, Carolina tied in the South.
Without Todd, Carson, Atlanta, they're right there. Right?
Your Falcons are one game back. Falcons right now, I think, would be the wild card.
Look out for the Falcons.
Right now, Falcons and Carolina would be the two wild cards, and Seattle has a chance to kind of backdoor in there.
Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu. What a 1-2 combination.
Right. Oh, did you see
Sanu's throw?
Oh, my. Yeah. Unbelievable.
And Todd, just – I'm sure you saw this in Atlanta. Sanu has thrown six passes in the NFL, and he's
completely – With three touchdowns. And the last time somebody threw for 50 yards and caught for 50 yards in the same game was Sanu with the Bengals.
Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, He's got a gun.
Just a local shout out. Sarkisian was getting hammered early on, and good for him. I think Atlanta's. I think Bill, you mentioned this the week before. Last year they had a very similar record. If they can get hot at the right time, they'll be fine. They'll make a run though.
I like their defense. They got a couple Gators on the defense. Keanu Neal.
Keanu Neal's a beast.
He's just laying the wood. I mean, he is just really becoming the just a force in that backfield.
Right?
Ronnie Lott, the Polamalu, he's just, you know, with his dreadlocks, he's just a strong, strong player.
Yeah.
Who plays tonight? Ravens and
– If you have insomnia, Houston. Houston at Baltimore.
Yeah.
Right now I think it's 7-0 Houston.
Okay. And who's QBing? Savage?
A great question. I'm not watching it currently. I'm looking at my iPad to score. So
NHL, Bill, your Lightning still in front by a point.
Yeah, lost three out of the last four, just getting off to slow starts. And the Kucherov Stamkos line is quieted down a little bit. And so, you know, things happen, but it's, you know, you got to have your times.
Sure, still early. Still feeling out the second and third lines, really getting some looks right now. Yep. New Jersey up 1 point in the Metropolitan over the Blue Jackets. My Blue Jackets won six straight. They're the hottest team in the NHL right now.
Nice.
And then out west, St. Louis and Vegas. Vegas
still hanging in there.
Yeah. Wow. Very, very impressive. NBA, Boston and Houston still kind of holding serve, although Golden State just a half a game out, and the Cavs have won seven straight or six straight. Still a few games back of Boston, but once again, doesn't mean much at this point in time. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Christmas Day is when NBA starts getting a little more attention. You know, they kind of dominate Christmas Day. Although I think Christmas Eve is Sunday, so that'll be a loaded NFL day. And then there's I believe the Steelers play on Christmas Day. Steelers have a lot of the primetime night games in the last couple weeks. I believe they played Sunday night last night, and they play the Bengals Monday. I think, are they this Thursday? I think they're, they wouldn't play Sunday night and Thursday. They're I think the Monday night game.
Yeah.
And guys, how about this? This is kind of fun to bring up. Golf. Tiger Woods making his return in the very limited field, the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas. He tees off at 12 noon this Thursday with Justin Thomas as his competitor. Of the 18 players in the tournament, everyone is ranked in the top 50 except for Tiger Woods. Anybody want to guess what he's ranked right now?
I'm gonna go 1141.
1603.
1199.
Ooh,
he's just under the 1200th best player in the world right now. Interesting. This article on ESPN about, if he comes back and tries to get on the tour full time, you know, don't just think he gets into every tournament, but he does get into all the majors. He would get a special exemption. This is his last US Open he gets qualified for because of his Torrey Pines win.
He'll get tons of sponsors exemptions for the other tournaments. Yeah. But you're right. The 10-year mark is approaching quickly.
Nicholas got eight exemptions into the US Open. Tiger with nine USGA victories, three juniors, three amateurs, and three US Opens. He won't have any problem getting into that tournament.
Right.
He gets into the Open till age 60, and he gets lifetime exemptions into Masters and PGA. Wow. And there'll be plenty of other sponsors that would be happy to have him.
Oh my gosh.
In the tournament. But it will be nice, and let's hope that he doesn't go down with an injury. Let's hope he can play, and it'd just be great to see him out there. It would be great relevant. To see him out there and making cuts. Exactly. Making cuts and competing, you know, obviously, because everybody starts paying attention if he's on the weekend, right? Bill, you know it, when you play golf and you're out and you come in at the ninth hole to get a soda or a beer, and you ask the girl in the halfway house, how's Tiger doing?
Yep.
And you know, now you check your phone, and
if
he's in contention on Sunday afternoon, you stick around after your round of golf and watch him, you know? So,
If next week
is as fun as this week, even though there's less games, obviously, but this was a good week as far as just having your ear to the ground on the ticker and the sports and the games and the clickers and kind of what sports is all about, right?
Yep.
So let's do a quick rundown of our week. Todd, what do you got coming up this week? Out of the Thanksgiving holiday, we got 4 weeks of 5 weeks if you count this week. Finish strong. What do you got?
Mondays are tough after a great Thanksgiving week. A lot of training this week, believe it or not, Sean. So tomorrow, all day training session. Wednesday, hosting a training class also. So dominated by training. In some ways, in my profession, it's good, especially after a holiday, to give the guys you call on a couple days to catch up on emails and. Sometimes you don't get the best bang for your buck when you show up Monday morning at 9 o'clock after a long holiday weekend when they're trying to get their feedback wet. So good week to sharpen the saw and, you know, get a little training done, both on the student end, and then I'm participating a little on the teaching end, even though I'm not running the the show on Wednesday.
Got it. Bill, how about you? What do you got coming up? Tell us about the real estate sessions, and what parts of the state of Florida will you be entertaining and educating?
So this week I stay local, which is good. I've got a lot of things scheduled up in the Pinellas-Hillsborough area, which is Tampa and St. Pete. Tomorrow's guest, we're recording this on a Monday night. So tomorrow the guest is Mike Schneider, who is the CEO of First. And Sean, you got to listen to this guy. First of all, played baseball at Duke as a walk-on back in the mid-2000s. He grew up in Vienna, Austria, with his parents. They're Americans that were working in Vienna. He had two choices for two schools, Stanford and Duke. He chose Duke because Stanford's baseball team was too good and ended up walking on and playing. His app is amazing, his idea. Sean, you're very aware of the predictive analytics in our world, right? And being able to identify someone more likely to sell, right? Those kinds of things. It's always done for leads that are, you know, no one knows, just cold leads, right? He's taken that and turning around and putting it into your sphere, your network, his company. And they then, if you know 1,000 people, you can't call all 1,000, right? Every quarter, it's tough. What if, though, he told you these 100 of these 1,000 are more likely to want to list in the next 6 to 9 months? Very interesting premise. It's taking all that data and all that stuff and turning it on your sphere, helping you build relationships better. So check that one out. Mike Schneider, that's tomorrow. And I just sent off my questions for next week's guest, Matthew Ferrara. So thank you so much for the setup on that one. I'm excited about getting Matthew.
He's a smart dude, I think.
Oh, did a deep dive on him to put the questions together, and super excited to have him on there.
Yeah, you'll really enjoy that conversation. And I thought last week's with Heather Siddig Jackson was a nice conversation. I thought she brought a lot of good energy and excitement. And I look forward to seeing how Relola gets traction in our business. So, guys, for me, it's a home week, which is always exciting after driving down to Columbia to drop Riley off. I teach a new class, which is a new class that was created by the Columbus Realtors. It's called the Certified Real Estate Mentor class. And it's kind of really designed to help people understand how to become a better mentor to people, some guidelines and some insights into motivation and accountability, ethics. It's going to be a really fun class, and the attendees will get not only continuing education, but they're going to get a designation, the CREM designation. And we really think that this could become a flagship that other boards and associations would want to come in and sort of say, hey, how can we take this to our communities? Because it's going to be a neat program. So I'll follow up next week and let you know how it is.
Nice.
And then next week I do my last speaking gig of the year over in Atlantic City. So we'll talk about that next week on our show. So final words, Todd.
Hey, had a great holiday and great weekend of sports. And it looks like next weekend's going to be just as good. So looking forward to next week's stare down.
Good. Bill, how about you?
Just excited for the last 5 weeks of the year. We've got a lot to get ready for 2018. We're going to help our sales team do better business planning kind of a process. And so we're putting that together, and it's all about getting ready for next year.
Awesome. Guys, it's something I say to Riley. I said it on my blog today, but let's finish strong. Let's hit the ground running this week and hit December with excitement for what it's going to bring in 2018, both from a sports standpoint with playoffs and championships, as well as setting up for the season on all the other sports, as well as our business for ourselves and, most importantly, our clients and our families. So on behalf of Todd and Bill, I'm Sean Carpenter. Thanks for checking out The Stare Down.